The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. That there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Pope John Paul II was a pope in the Catholic Church in the late 1970s, during the height of the sexual revolution. Though we certainly don't acknowledge his position and teachings as head of the Catholic Church, he nonetheless had some great things to say about marriage and sexuality. Now, based on a series of lectures that he gave, he now made into a book, he authored a work titled Theology of the Body. In this work, he hits the nail on the head concerning the teaching of love, specifically how we're to love one another. He says, a person's rightful due is to be treated as an object of love, not as an object of use. The conclusion is that the opposite of love is use. The opposite of loving someone is using them for your own greedy, personal, and sinful gain. And usually, it's at the expense of their body. Now, as Christians, Paul encourages us to love as God has loved us. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, before Paul takes up the topic of living the Christian life, he first grounds us in our identity. Our identity as Christians is completely wrapped up in the love of Christ. Since he loves you and makes you his own, he also gives you the right to be called a child of God. This began in your baptism, when the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was placed upon your forehead and heart. He continues to ground you in his love with confession and absolution and receiving his holy body and holy blood. He gives all these gifts to you because he loves you. He completely gives himself up for you in these things. He washes you clean with these gifts of love. And having been cleansed, we're to imitate him, as Paul describes. But imitate God in what way? Imitate him in the way of love. Christ shows what that looks like through the cross. For there's no greater love than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Through his self-sacrifice, his life for ours, he demonstrates that love is not greedy, is not self-seeking, but rather love serves. And herein lies the problem. though we're commanded to imitate God, specifically in the way of love, we end up distorting love. We use others for our greedy gain, even at times as it relates to our bodies in the way God reserved for marriage. And certainly that's the congregation at Ephesus' problem. Paul addressed them, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ in God. So Paul, in the beginning of the text, contrasts the loving, self-giving actions of Christ to the greedy and sinful ways the congregation at Ephesus treated other people's bodies as an object of use, adoration, and devotion. One is the way of godly love. The other is the opposite of love. It's use. At the end of this portion of the text is the stark warning of losing one's inheritance in the kingdom of God because the object of adoration and devotion is not Christ and not the spouse that the Lord has given you. But rather the object of your devotion is for someone the Lord hasn't given you. Whether that's pornography on a screen or someone's body that's used for your own self-gratification. The Lord gives us marriage as a gift and blessing, not as a curse. He gives this beautiful gift to control sexual desires, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Marriage is a gift God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, where the two became one flesh. Anything outside of this marital union between man and woman breaks the sixth commandment: you shall not commit adultery. For we should fear and love God so that we may lead a sexually pure and decent life in what we say and do. And husband and wife, love and honor each other. But also, anything outside of this breaks the fifth commandment too. As Luther explains, because we're not helping our neighbor in his body, and we're not helping and supporting them in every physical need. Because other people shouldn't be treated as objects we use, especially as it relates to the uncleanness and impurity that comes with desecrating the body. Because the body is the temple of the Lord. Unfortunately, we live in a world which encourages the use of each other's bodies. We have the hookup culture, cohabitation, trying out marriage by living together first. And then, you know, dating for fun instead of dating for marriage. Just look at the movies, the songs, the books. It's everywhere. And we've become so saturated from pop culture telling us how we should use our bodies. To flaunt it towards tempting eyes. To follow every desire of your flesh, especially as it relates to marriage and sexuality. Because it's your body, your choice. We're told to use other people's bodies for what pleases us. Not to use our bodies to serve them. And along with the culture of uncleanness and how we should use our bodies towards each other, there's also the uncleanness in our talk about our bodies. Dirty jokes, filthy talk, talking negatively about our spouses, who actually share our bodies, mind you. The easiest way to become callous to God's word on marriage is by engaging in this stuff. First, you hear it from pop culture. Then it passes from your ear to your heart and settles in your heart. Then it goes from the heart to the mouth. You start saying it. And finally, it goes from the mouth to your actions. And you start engaging in it. We're all somewhere on that spectrum. We've all dirtied our souls with such covetousness and idolatry. Lord, grant us repenting hearts. But thanks be to God who's offered himself up as a fragrant offering. He loved us by giving himself up as a sacrifice to the Father on the altar of the cross. He gave his body as a sacrifice on our behalf. Because if we were to be a sacrifice to God ourselves, whether that be by our good works or obeying the commandments and living the God-pleasing life, or by offering our death to the Father, then our sacrifice wouldn't be a fragrant, sweet-smelling, God-pleasing smell to God the Father. Because we're impure from the unclean lives that we live. But thanks be to God, who has washed you clean with his sacrificial blood, which is a pleasing sacrifice to God the Father. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Our sin-stained, filthy rags have been washed and made clean in the blood of the Lamb, who offers his holy body and his cleansing blood here for you. Christ has showed you love by suffering the pangs of sin, death, and the devil. By his painful sacrifice, he makes you clean. By his painful sacrifice, he shows you how his clean children live. By his painful sacrifice, he shows you how to truly love your spouse, your children, and your neighbor in their bodies. And conquering sin, death, and the devil by his cleansing sacrifice, he is the stronger man from the gospel, who plunders the palace of Satan. And Christ's victory over Satan is like David's victory over Goliath. David single-handedly beat Goliath, and by extension, the whole Philistine army. And David's victory won refuge for all of Israel. And so it is with Christ. He single-handedly defeated sin, death, and the devil. And by extension, that victory is shared with all those who dwell with Christ. Through this victory, we learn of Christ's selflessness to forgive and protect and to wash and to keep us in his care, even at the expense of his own body. Through his victory, we have life, love, and light. Paul concludes, therefore do not associate with them being the impure in speech and body. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Do not associate with the impure. For as Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. This doesn't mean shun the impure, but rather be a light in the midst of darkness. God sets you apart from the world, holy and sanctified, not only in your speech, but your actions. And so walk as children of light. Let your mouth speak words of thanksgiving for the gifts of God, not speak words of impurity. Let your ears hear the loving words of Christ, not the lusting words of the world. Let your feet guide you to the altar to receive Christ's body and blood for you. By so doing, you imitate the love of God, treating all with a self-giving love. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.